Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Charity. I wanted to let you know that this particular ride has two parts. There's ride 32 and ride 33 with Charity and Megan, talking about all things Buckhead, postpartum, and plastic surgery. Enjoy. All aboard ride 32, Buckhead moms, postpartum, and plastic surgery. You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity. What's up, you guys? You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity. And I'm Charity.
And I'm Megan.
And this episode, we're going to talk about all things when it comes to living in Buckhead as a mom, plastic surgery, and some other fun things in between. So first, I want to talk to Megan, and I've talked to you guys a little bit on social media about how I feel about Megan. Megan, to me, is all the bee's knees. I don't even know what that means, but Megan is everything to me. Like, she's the perfect friend. She's everything that you would want in a person to help you transfer to the things that you desire. So me coming to Atlanta is only possible because I had her. And people were asking me on TikTok, and my TikTok went viral. And they were like, yo, how did you do this? I did it because of her.
No, you did it because of you.
I did it because of me, but I also had...
But I was here to be
her, to make things seem possible. And the Bible says you only need one friend, and I had Megan. And I want to talk about our journey here into Buckhead because Megan also left a different area here in Georgia and came into Buckhead. So together we kind of like share similarities in our journey. So Meg, how is it living in Buckhead of Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, it's been amazing. Even though everything has gone left, right, center, it's been amazing just knowing that I have somebody that's close to me. Not too close, but also not too far. And so it feels good that, like, if I need to, I can just walk up here and bother you. Or if I don't feel like buying milk, I can come use your milk. Or if I just want to, like, throw my kid away for a second, I can just come up here and be like, hey, your child misses you. I'll see you later. But it has been amazing, and we're both like working through like making the best out of this, because it doesn't, like we both say, it's not gonna get any better than this. Where we live, what we live around, what we get to experience, the building that we live in, the problems that even we're having at the moment, it's not gonna get any better than this. So
this is the best it gets. It's very janky, mm-hmm. and it's very but
and Cheryl leaves her trash outside the door.
No, I don't. I don't do it no more. Check it out. If you are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you love to watch podcasts, you need to go to YouTube because we're showing you the new vodka. No more Grey Goose. No more Ciroc. This is the one you want to have. Not enjoyment. Okay, tell us about it.
This is Rain Cane. And actually, we have taken a couple shots. We have made a couple cocktails. And it is living up to its name. It's distilled from sugar cane. It's charcoal filtered. And it's from Alaskan water. You can't beat that. What more do you want? And our friends over at Rain Cane have sent us this bottle. They've sent us a couple things so that we can share with you guys one of our favorite drinks at the moment. But did you like your cocktail? Because I made it.
I'm going to drink it. What is it?
The same one I made earlier.
What's it called?
It's called Grenadine Fizz.
And I didn't want to tell them that I chugged there.
This is our second one, and we did a shot. But
all right, so cheers. Let me see.
Okay, that is not a cheers. That is a drink it all.
Non-enjoyment.
Okay, that's how we've been living. non-enjoyment.
Yeah, so our Buckhead living has been really amazing. Meg and I come from two different households. Like, I come from a broken household, typically. She comes from a together household.
A together household. My mom and my dad have been together for...
Together. And it's interesting that we found ourselves trying to build a new family, and Megan found me on Instagram. She was like a freaking, what are you like?
Yes, I got it. Well, I took my hair. Yeah, we have to be related, like.
So she thought that I was her cousin and I wasn't, and then it just all worked out. And I flew to Atlanta and we just kind of continued to build our relationship from that. Yeah. And now we're looking to buy property in Kenya, and
you guys are gonna be here for it.
Honestly.
When I was doing my makeup earlier and I was thinking like, damn, I really live in Buckhead. When I was finishing high school, I remember one of my very best friends, we used to be on Zillow looking up, like, you know, different condos, and you're like, we're gonna roommate, you know what I'm saying? And they only want, at the time it was cheap, and it's like, it's only $1,300. If you make $690,
that was it. My first apartment in DC in Southwest, which is now the waterfront, I paid $1,600 and I was 22, 23 years old.
Yeah, you're thinking of it, you're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so are you gonna get the master? Am I gonna get the master? You know, how's it gonna work? And we don't actually know, like, how we're gonna get there because we don't have a job. We're depending on our parents. Whatever.
Yeah, no, but no,
high school? You were
No, I did not depend on my mom.
Oh, really? I depended on my mom.
You still depend on my mom.
I worked. And I don't care what problem I'm having. If Rachel can fix it, I'm going to be like, hey, so I kind of forgot how to close the microwave. How do you do that?
I was born here in the United States of America, and Megan was born in Kenya. And she came here, how old were you?
I was 7.
7 years old.
I've only ever lived in Atlanta.
And I had to get Georgia peach. Look at it. It's a peach. Okay. Somehow she was ready for that. So me had to get Georgia peach because after I gave birth, my body kind of changed a little bit. But Meg, I want to talk to you a little bit. Like, how do you feel having your experience of your mom and dad coming here to Kenya? Your mom and dad and your brother spend primarily of their time back in Kenya. How does that, like, make you feel, because you're primarily here in the U.S.?
Well, a lot of the times I do sometimes wish I could do the same thing.
You want to go to Kenya full time?
No, I want to have zero responsibility full time.
I get that.
I also feel like it makes me treat myself like I'm, what's the word? Treat myself like I'm all that I got, so that I make sure I do what the hell I need to do, because I can't be like, my car, because who's gonna come pick it up? A couple days ago, my car was just messed up, and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna park it here and then, like, I'll figure this out tomorrow, because there's actually...
No, okay, so listen. Okay, so I kind of, like, tap into this because, Meg, you are the epitome of soft life. Okay? I feel like you do not want to do too much work. And sometimes I'm like, God, you didn't know how to do this, so I didn't. And she's like, I could, but I won't. So, Meg, like, what has... Because I ask you this all the time. What has positioned you to be okay with letting a man do things for you? And also, what has allowed you to expect a man to do things for you?
Well, my mom never had to do anything. My mom decided to be a nurse because that's what she wanted to be. But when we came here, I'm not really sure how much money like my mom and my dad came here with, but all my mom had to do was take us to school.
I'm thinking like crap. And I'm sorry, it makes me cry.
Why are you crying?
I'm listening.
My mom literally, we took the bus to the train station. We took the train to the next stop. We took the bus from the train to school, and that's all my mom had to do. My mom was babysitting these two kids.
Sorry.
And, why are you crying?
Keep going. It's okay.
Why are you crying? But my dad didn't expect that from my mom, and he worked really hard just so she could just take care of us. And I mean, it's different now because obviously, like, I take care of Lonnie, you take care of Gabu, but it still gives me hope that there is a man out there that could be like, you just take care of the kid and I take care of everything else. Why are you crying? Why are you crying?
I'm sorry. We've literally been attempting this for so long, man. I'm sorry. I was just crying because
obviously today's my mom's birthday. It is?
September 21st.
Why didn't you tell me?
It doesn't matter anymore. She's gone. But, like, I didn't actually think I was going to cry. But the fact that you said that your mother didn't have to and my mom had to, It just hit differently to hear that. And it just made me, like, cry. Like, I did not mean to.
It reminds me how strong she was.
Yes, because she worked really hard and she did a really good job. Mm-hmm. And, at the end of the day, we always want to value our parents for what they've done for us. Mm-hmm. Because it's really hard out here.
I love you. And you know, I always tell you this, like, our moms came here and they had a plan.
That's the part I don't even know, understand. Like,
yeah, like, it's
we
so
got
dumb.
Stuck in Kenya, like, really not doing shit for ourselves. And, like, to have a mother that's, like, so resilient. And I just look at myself and I'm like, I could never do that.
Right, we were talking about this the other day, like,
oh,
there's got to be bigger and better than us. And it's like, okay, so what's next after you? Because
I'm so tired. I could never do what my mom did for me for my baby, and she's always wanted more, but I don't think I can do that. But that's another conversation for another day. Okay, we're together, and that's just, you started this whole thing off wrong, man. This is why I call Megan Meg the Great, because you guys,
here, I love you.
I'm not crying in so long. I was not expecting this. Okay. I can do this. I can get through this. But Meg, how do you feel living in Buckhead?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I always knew that, like, I wanted to be here at some point, and did I know that it was gonna be this year? No. 5 years ago, if you would have asked me, like, are you gonna be living in Buckhead in 5 years? I would have said, no, I mean, me and my husband are gonna be in our house with all our kids, and I'm gonna have
all our kids. I'm gonna have another kid,
and I'm, you know, like, I'm gonna, like, be happy, and I'm gonna have my business and whatnot. But then, you know, like, life throws different things at you, and, like, you know, like you're saying, like, now, like, I'm a single mom and I have my baby, and, like, I have to put myself in a lot of uncomfortable situations so that I can work even harder, because I went from a 3-bedroom to a 2-bedroom.
Yeah, because I was in one of
my rent.
Where you double?
My rent doubled.
Yes, you're
but
doubled. Yes.
But the one thing about it is I didn't appreciate my old house.
Why not?
I could do it effortlessly. Mm-hmm. I could pay those bills effortlessly. Mm-hmm. I had no, there was nothing that like, okay, 1100, okay, I'm about to go to the mall and spend all, like, everything that we go through, I think is worth it. And I never thought that you would be in Maryland, I would be in Decatur, and then literally 6 months later, we would be right on top of each other like this.
Why am I so emotional? Like,
it's amazing. I don't, because this is like, we're talking about it in a podcast, but this is just the beginning.
I know.
This is just the beginning. This is like our, us taking our first little step. And I was telling you, we're
pretty, I'm sorry, I'm so emotional. So, I'm very happy. And Meg, you being below me, not below me, but being down there.
Being
downstairs, it's like so amazing to me. And I've always prayed to have this like dorm room style kind of living. And I get that. Well, hey, you got some sugar. Hey, you got some vinegar. I saw the vinegar here. I get back. And
I was looking for it.
Yeah, they have it. And, you know, I go to your mom's house. I'm like, hey, mom, like, this is baby. Like, just, and mom goes, when are you guys coming to Kenya? Are you going to come for Christmas? And we're like, no, we ain't coming for Christmas. You can forget about it. And I just feel a part of something. And I've always wanted to be a part of something. So to have that experience is so huge for me. It's bigger than anything I can actually explain. And I don't want to digress to that format. So let's just stick to what we're talking about, because we got an amazing like vodka sponsor here, and we're over here crying for no good reason, but this vodka will make you harness your inner being.
Okay. 80 proof,
yes it is. And it is pure vodka that comes from sugar cane, and it is distilled with Alaskan water. So I think we should just have like a little cheers due to the fact that like I thank God for our lives. Cheers, thanks, man.
Here's the bucket living.
Arriba de Bojo Arrera, Centro of me. I'm still learning my Spanish. Because obviously living here is a huge opportunity, which we can agree to. And to be here, you need money. You can't come to Buckhead and not have money. But we came to Buckhead without money.
What is this question? Because if it's about asking if I'm broke, my health is broke.
If I'm broke, no money.
I definitely have more money in the cater. But I am as broke as could be here. I need to worry about my mental health.
Yes.
More than just the money, because I have the money and the money has come, mm-hmm. and the money has gone. But how I felt up here still needs to be worked on, no matter what, whether I have the money or not.
Yeah, I was asking Meg, like, you know, I understood you as a person, but then as a mom, I understood her mental health as a mom. And that was a different ballgame, because I felt like I didn't understand, like, the small nuances that a kid could give you, like, social, like, too much, being too much, just too much. These kids can be too much, and I didn't realize how they could affect your brain, mm-hmm. you know? And when the kids cry, 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 or they don't sleep, it just really gets into your deep, your mitochondria. You know what that is? Hell, it's deep down in there.
They can start learning what it means to be overstimulated.
Overstimulated, that's the word.
Exhausted.
That's the word.
Not be present.
Not to be present, and you're just like mute because the kid is like drowning you in something. And I didn't understand, and my baby is so like obviously like small and so fragile, and I'm trying to work through that with him. But I appreciate your perception of how you deal with Gigi because of that, because Gigi's a very hyperactive kid and I'm hyperactive, and I just sit back and I think, guy, what did my mom do? She probably tied me to a goddamn closet.
That's why I don't drink, because I feel like that's enough alcohol in my life. I'm just like, come chill with me. Then that's me.
I drink just to look at her.
So my pregnancy, I won't talk about it too much, but I had H. pylori when I was pregnant, and I also also had gallstones, so I was in the hospital on a no-fat diet as a pregnant person who craves beef roast. That is the sickest thing that could ever happen to someone. And I'm not gonna lie, when they let me go home and they told me to maintain my diet, the first thing I did was eat beef, what is it called, pot roast or whatever, the one that you know food is good when you have to wait 6 hours for it. And those 6 hours turned into another 6 hours of hell.
Yes.
I literally came home, went to the store because I'm like, one time won't hurt. I haven't eaten no fat. And I came home, I go to the store, I get all the ingredients, I put it in the crock pot, and I let it cook, and I'm just with my belly just like, it's okay, you know, everything is gonna be okay. And I ate that one meal, and maybe an hour later, oh, we were rushing me to the hospital.
Really?
Very quick. And I was right back to the same place that I started. And I was ready to make the decision that you can keep the kid.
Yeah.
If this is how pregnancy is supposed to be and everyone else is glorifying pregnancy about how they're eating McDonald's and eating ice cream and all this other stuff, I don't want it. And they told me I was going to stay there.
I'm sorry, I'm still cracking. I'm still cracking up. Who bothered you going to make this meal?
I literally left the hospital. I thought one time won't be bad. I thought one time won't hurt you because once I eat it this one time, I'm not going to eat it again.
Yeah, I get it.
No,
I never had a moment.
I didn't eat it again. I don't think I've ate pot roast since then. Not even because I honestly don't think I ate pot roast since then. But when I went to the hospital, they said, you're going to stay here until you give birth. And I told them, honestly, whatever you have to do for me to go home, do it. And they were like, we're going to remove your gallbladder. Me at 21 years old, I'm going to take it.
That's so
take
good.
The gallbladder.
Okay, wait. We gotta pull it back in.
Yeah, I was ready
to
risk my child.
Pull me back in.
Nobody should judge me for this, but I was ready to risk my child about pot roast. Like, it was so good. I didn't know her yet. I knew how pot roast was. I knew exactly how pot roast was. But, got another plan.
Oh my god, I'm in tears.
Bitch.
Wait a minute. This is not the part
it is. The gallbladder went. The baby didn't leave. I ended up having the baby. And she was literally the best kid ever. And I felt bad for every thought that I had. Like,
okay. Well, that's the good part. That's the point of this podcast.
She didn't cry. She would wake up and just lay there. And you would think sometimes, you know, I'm like, that is the best thing in the world. Then I remember, like, no, you used to be up staring at her all night because you didn't know.
Oh, Gigi's a really good baby. I just think that she's low stimulated. Like, she needs more time at the park, more time, I don't know, like, the trees and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, really good baby, great comprehension, great empathy, great core values. Yeah, very, very helpful. Like, she's literally...
Unless it's only going to the store for groceries and no toys. She does not. And as soon as she sees the toy, she remembers that it's her birthday.
It's always her birthday.
When she sees the toy, she goes, but mommy, it's my birthday. That's how I live, too. I feel like every day is my birthday, and if you just see me in the club turning up, it's my birthday. And then like a smooth labor, and then you had like a really great pregnancy. No worries, this one she never covered her stomach. She perooed parad from here to there. We took her to the club, like club hopping, one club, two club, three club, 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. Do you need help? Let me walk you to the car. Turn her up. Move her down here. When we moved here, I didn't drive the U-Haul. She was about to have a baby driving the U-Haul, jumping out of it,
because they don't.
You thought you were just gonna continue to have fun and then I was just gonna smooth. No. So we had two completely different.
We did. Opposites. But I want to talk about this vodka that we got going on here. So
no shot.
I want to say cheers to this because I'm so like, you girls are gonna have me wet like in my lashes. Like for
but real. That's what, you know, we always say Wednesdays is midweek motivation, but literally it's.
Cheers to this. So, my experience, obviously, coming to Atlanta is a little bit different. I'll be quick because we are prolonging ourselves when it comes to this, but I didn't know what to expect. I knew you were here for me, but I knew you had, this is going to make me cry. I don't want to cry. I knew that you had limited capacity. Right? There's like only so much a person can do, even if they want to be good to you. So I was aware of that and I was like, well, my big God, what will you do for me? Will you punish me for this, right? So I took some time to like be like, God, can you let me go? And I really felt a lot of resistance. After my baby shower, I realized like, I can go. And I left. And that was big for me because it took me 7 years to do that. And I had more money the first year and I have less money this year. But I just knew it was time. Believing in God and what He's called you to do will always be a very emotional thing because you'll never know if He'll ask you to put everything in. And it will kill you to do that because you have so many things that need that. But having my baby has required a new level of commitment because I never want anyone to see me begging for bread. So I'm working like my ass off. My ass, like my culo, meo poquito culo, you know, to make something for my family here in Atlanta because we need money to provide for us and we don't have anything. We don't have nothing. And that's sad, but it's also prosperous because you can meet people like Meg that sow into you with their time, their energy, and their hope. And that like adds a whole different dynamic. But anyways, look, let's reel it back in because sappy is not what we're going for. Chiquitas, we're not sappy. So, I had other things to talk about.
Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity, and don't forget to bring your friend. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at Chatting with Charity. Hey, writer, are you on YouTube? Well, head over to YouTube and type in Charity Kashenge and search for our YouTube channel. You'll be able to see a docuseries that is being released weekly to accompany these amazing rides in a vlog format. That's right. You get to see actual footage of the things that I have experienced and shared with you on these rides. Thank you for subscribing and see you over there.